And a very, very, very warm welcome to all of you. Thank you very much for coming in and joining us here at River East London on Christmas Day. So if you're visiting for the very first time, or if you are with friends or with family, welcome to you. Welcome to the River here in East London. So on behalf of our visionary leaders, Apostle Andre and Pastor Jenny Rapid, a big welcome to you all the way from the US. They send their love, they send their greetings. And also our lead pastors, Pastor Kevin and Chantal Davies, are away at the moment. So they also send their love and greetings to you. So they say hello. And just welcome one more time. So we're looking forward to a great service with you. Obviously, this morning's service is a lot shorter than normal. So I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to get right into it. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John 3, verse 8. This morning, I want to speak a little bit about why Jesus came. Why was Jesus born? Why did he come? I'm not sure how many of you know this, but Mary, who carried Jesus, do any of you know how old she was when she gave birth? Do you know that historians and theologians say that she was between the age of 15 and 16 years old? 15 and 16 years old. She was engaged to Joseph. Can you imagine? We celebrate Mary today, but can you imagine being 16 years old and carrying not just a child, but carrying the King on the inside of you, the Messiah? Can you imagine what people must have said? You know, she's 16 and she's engaged to Joseph. Who's she been sleeping with? She's probably been sleeping around. Can you imagine what people must have said about Mary? We celebrate her today because she gave birth to the King. But can you imagine what happened 2019 years ago? And Joseph, my goodness, my fiance is now pregnant. You know, he wanted to break off the engagement and leave her. But because an angel appeared to Mary and told her what was going to happen, and an angel appeared to Joseph and explained to him what was going to happen, a king was born. And they held off the engagement and the marriage until the king was born, which was Jesus. And obviously we know the story of how the shepherds, also an angel appeared to the shepherds out in the fields and the flocks there in Bethlehem, and they went to go and greet Jesus because there was no space in the inn or in the hotels or whatever hotel or bed and breakfast you want to speak about. They found a stable where the horses used to be, and he was put in a manger, wrapped in cloth and laid in hay. And then the wise men followed a star, and they came and brought gifts to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But now, why did Jesus come? We all know the story so well. A king was born. We celebrate the life of Jesus. But why did Jesus come? Why was Jesus born? 1 John 3 verse 8 says this: "But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Why did the Son of God come? Why was Jesus born? For one reason: to destroy the works of the devil. Come on, church, are you with us this morning? Are you awake? Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. I don't know how many of you have been living from paycheck to paycheck, but that time is over. I don't know how many of you have battled through a year of debt, or maybe an insufficient bank account, or a grocery cupboard that's been running dry with one shelf that's filled, not the whole cupboard. That time is over. We serve the King. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. Can you say amen? So that means that sickness, disease, stagnation, frustration, lack, want, that's all been destroyed. That's all been taken care of. Why? Because a king was born. A king was born. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. All those oppressions of the devil, whatever's been plaguing you, your body, your family, whatever's been oppressing you, that comes to a stop today in Jesus' name. Come on. That's been taken care of the day Jesus was born. One more scripture I want to share with you is this. Romans 8 verse 32. While you're turning there, and as it comes on the screens, I just want to remind you of this. That lack is not your portion. Bondage is not your portion. I don't know if you're visiting for the first time today. Maybe it's the first time you're hearing this here. But poverty is not your portion. Debt is not your portion. Sickness, disease is not your portion. Worry, doubt is not your portion. Fear, unbelief is not your portion. Why? Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That is the works of the devil. He wants to plague you with sickness, disease. But Jesus came so that we may have life. He is the life. Can you say amen? Romans 8 verse 32, I'll read it in the NLT, says this. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Someone say with me, everything else. Say it like you have it already. Everything else. Come on. Everyone who is a child of God will go into 2020 with no lack, with no want, with sufficiency. Can you say amen? So why do we see so many Christians in need today? Have you seen Christians in need? Christians who are still sick? Christians who are still living in debt, unbelief, doubt? Why do we see that? Why do we see they're Christians? Why do we see them living in need and want? It's because of ignorance. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of what? Knowledge. Because they purely do not understand. They do not understand Malachi 3:10. That if you tithe, that the Lord will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And if you continue to give over and above your tithe, he will open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing so big you won't have enough room to contain it. Can you say amen? Because people don't understand that. And because they haven't heard it for, maybe they're 50 years old, they haven't heard it for 50 years, all of a sudden they hear it, and it's hard to adapt to that because they have 50 years of unbelief and doubt and fear and worry in their lives. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. People are oppressed. They're sick. They're in disease. They're in want, in need, because they are ignorant. They do not know. But let me just remind you of this. We are going to be going into 2020. The year of what? Change and manifest power. Someone get excited. Change and manifest power. Hallelujah. Change is coming. That's a good thing. Where you used to be in debt, debt no more. Where you used to be in doubt, doubt no more. Where you used to be in fear, fear no more. Where you used to be lacking or needing or wanting, no more. You will lend to many nations and never borrow. Can you say amen? You will never ever have to borrow from anybody. You will be the lender and not the borrower. You will have more than enough. Can you say amen? Jesus came to show us the way up, the way out, and the way forward. If you think of David, David was a great man. But who knew he was the least likely out of all of his brothers to be anointed as king? But Jesus, although David had messed up, he came before the Lord. Jesus showed him the way up, the way out, and the way forward. Can you say amen? I declare today that the Lord's going to show people here today, families here today, he's going to show you the way up, the way out, and the way forward. Can you say amen? Come on, some of you have been struggling too long. Why have you been through a whole year struggling with doubt? Struggling with being held in bondage from the devil? No more. Jesus came to destroy that. We celebrate that today. We celebrate his life today. That's what he came for. I'm going to share seven keys with you. Take these down. Seven keys. These are the seven reasons. There's many more. I just summed it up to seven. Why Jesus came. Number one, to save us from our sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins. To be saved is to be free from the power of sin. To be saved is to be free from the power of sin. You can read that in Matthew 1 verse 21. Number two, Jesus came to restore joy back to man. Restore joy back to man. If you're saved, if you're a child of God and you are a believer, there needs to be evidence on your face that you carry joy. Can you say amen? There's too many Christians who are saved and are living a good life, but they look like a bunch of lemons they've been carrying around in their handbag, or they drive a car filled with lemons, or they're probably a lemon farmer. If you have joy, you need to show expression that you have joy. Can you say amen? I don't know why people have to come to church all the time and think it's a place of depression, a place where we have to cry and weep all the time. You cry and weep in the presence of the Lord. That's not a problem. Doesn't mean you have to have a sour look on your face. Sometimes I'm crying, but I'm laughing. I don't know how that works, but that's joy. That's His presence. In His presence is fullness of? In His presence is fullness of? Come on, we're going to leave this place filled with joy. Can you say amen? I pray that the Lord would baptize you with fresh joy today in Jesus' name. You would leave this place. You would go back to wherever you're celebrating your Christmas. You're going to carry the joy. People who have a long face they have a long face because they've been cooking all day, preparing roasts. You're going to carry the joy. When you walk into the room, you're going to carry the joy. People are going to smile. They're not going to know why, because you carry the joy. You carry the gift of life. Can you say amen? So Jesus came to restore joy back to man. That's number two. Listen to this statement by Bishop David Oyedepo. If you are not joyful, you cannot be successful. If you are not joyful, you cannot be successful. Joy brings strength. You need strength to be successful. Can you say amen? The challenges of life cannot withstand joy. When you carry joy and you hear what's happening in the financial systems, or you hear what's happening with, you know, stage 3 water, or you hear of stage whatever 16 Eskom electricity now. Sorry for any Eskom people. You hear of that there? The joy of the Lord should override anything that the world throws at you. If you want a scripture, you can look in Luke 2 verse 10. Jesus came to restore joy back to man. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Joy. Joy, joy. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you restore joy back to your people in this place. Restore joy back to families in Jesus' name. Back into the home. Back into the family units. Back into husbands, the priests, kings, and prophets of the home. Restore joy back into the family unit in Jesus' name. Number three, Jesus came to restore the peace of God back to mankind. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus. Why did He come? You know, the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden, they had everything. Do you know how big the grapes were in the Garden of Eden? If you took a basketball, I try to explain this to Samuel, but he's still too young. A basketball, the size of a basketball was one grape. I mean, can you imagine, you eat a punnet of grapes and you still probably can eat another punnet, and they don't fool you. Can you imagine eating one grape, not a cluster, just one grape from the Garden of Eden? That is huge. Took two men to carry those grapes out of the Garden of Eden on a pole. That's how big it was. But because of the fall of man, peace and all that provision was taken away. It was no longer there because of the fall of man. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Can you say amen? And He came to restore that. So He came to restore peace back to mankind. When you're born again, the peace of God settles within you. You see people respond to the altar call here in the front, weeping before the Lord. Why? You don't know what they've been battling in the family unit, what's been going on in the marriage, what's been happening with children, what's been happening in the workplace, if they've had thoughts of suicide. And you see them weeping before the Lord. Why? There's an inward witness that have given them a peace that surpasses all understanding. He came to restore that. Can you say amen? I love this. God only fights for people who are at peace. Exodus 14, verse 14. God only fights for people who are at peace. Philippians 4 says this. Philippians 4, verse 6. That we are to be anxious for nothing. You don't have to go to bed at night worrying, trembling, being anxious. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's my boss going to say? I didn't send my report. I didn't do the financials. I didn't submit that graph. I didn't add the stats correctly. Don't worry about what the next project is. We've got a big board meeting. You don't have to be anxious for that. Jesus came to restore peace. You can sleep on that pillow, sleeping like a puppy, knowing that you have peace. Can you say amen? Number four. So you've got number one. Jesus came to save us from sin. Jesus came to restore joy back to mankind. Number three, Jesus came to restore the peace of God back to mankind. Number four, to restore goodwill back to mankind. See, Jesus went around healing all who were what? Sick and oppressed of who? The devil. Jesus came to restore that goodwill. We are meant to be carriers of that goodwill. Come on, church. We're meant to be carriers of that. That's what we carry. That's what we do. We are family members. We're of his family. And he came to restore goodwill back to mankind. Luke 2 verse 14, if you want a scripture. Point number five. Jesus came to give us life at its best. Who's ready to enjoy life at its best from now on until 2020 and beyond? Jesus came to restore that. That's why he was born. John 10 verse 10, we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's your purpose. That's your life. That's the plan that Jesus has for you. The devil doesn't want you to fulfill that. That's why he wants to come and destroy, steal, and kill. But Jesus came. Why? To destroy what? The works of who? The devil. And that's why the latter part of John 10:10 says that Jesus came that you may have life and life everlasting. Come on. The blessing of Jesus Christ will be on your life. Now, this December, January, all throughout 2020, all throughout 2021, all throughout until you go home to be with the Lord. Can you say amen? He came to restore that back to you. Receive that today. Point number six. Jesus came to restore the supernatural back to mankind. John 3 verse 8. See, we were all born to live a supernatural life as children of God. We were all born to live a supernatural life, and Jesus came to restore that. Point number seven. Jesus came to restore divine presence back to mankind. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to restore that divine presence back to us as mankind. It's ours. We carry that presence. We don't come to church to get into his presence. We are carriers of that presence. Carriers. He came to restore that. And his presence is our greatest asset and protection. Can you say amen? You see, the word says this, that Jesus has prepared what? A table for us in front of who? This is the table he's prepared. Table of what? What's the table full of? He prepared a table. What's the table full of? Is there sickness on the table? A plate of lack? Plate of bondage? Plate of debt? He has some fear? He has a bit of cancer? No. What did he prepare for you? It was now. Pass me the plate of blessing. Pass me the plate. Bande, pass me the plate of provision. Pass me. Pass me. I want more. Pass me more. I want the plate of faith. Give me the plate of faith. That's what he came. He came to restore what was taken away from us. Can you say amen? He prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And you can only partake at that table if you are part of the family of God. Can you say amen? If you're part of the family of God, you can partake at that table. You can partake of that plate of blessing, that plate of prosperity, that plate of healing, that plate of deliverance. It's yours. And you can eat your fill. That table has been prepared for you. By who? The King. It's been prepared for you by the King. Now, you're probably sitting there and think, you know, Brad, how do I get these blessings? How can I make them mine? How do these things become mine? How do I make these seven keys work? Number one, You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You see, you cannot pray for an inheritance from a family if you aren't part of that family. I can't come to the family of the Joshuas from Durban and ask to inherit stuff from them and I'm not part of their family. If you want to inherit something from the family, you have to become a member of that family. Can you say amen? Come on, that excites me. Today, people who have not been part of the family are going to become members of that family and be partakers of that table. Can you say amen? You can find that in John 1 verse 12 if you're looking for a scripture. Number two, how do these blessings become mine? Number one, you must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number two, how do these blessings become mine? Provision of redemption. You must believe in the provision of redemption. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has what? Redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. You have been redeemed. Therefore, provision is yours. And point number three, we have to be committed to serving and investing in the kingdom. There are too many people who are not, they plugged into the church, but they are unplugged. Does it make sense? You plugged into the church, but you're unplugged because you aren't serving. You have to be plugged in when you're plugged into the church. You've got to plug in. You've got to serve. When you serve, you become a partaker. When you serve, provision becomes yours. Serving God provides us with supernatural provision. When you serve God, He'll provide for you supernaturally. Things will come from the left, from the right. You won't even know how that car arrived in your yard with that bunch of keys waiting on the gate with your name on it. It's about time we start taking these things and declaring and speaking them as though they were. Number four, we must make specific demands for our rights in redemption. We've been redeemed from the curse. Can you say amen? That means lack is no longer ours. Poverty, sickness, disease is no longer ours. So why do we see so many Christians, like I said earlier, who are in lack, in need, still in poverty? Why? Because of ignorance. They aren't hearing the word getting preached. How does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing what? The word. And fear comes by how? Hearing and hearing the lies of the devil. No more. This is the end. Jesus came, why? To destroy the works of the devil. Can you say amen? If you leave this place today, that's the one thing you have to remember, is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil.